I'm going to read through the scripture reading, and then I'm going to ask Amanda if she will bring it back, because I want to refer to verses, specific verses during the course of the sermon. You heard from Gary the reading of 1 Peter. What a precious passage that is, right? I mean, what a precious passage. All of those things that we are to try not to do because we have been saved in the Lord. Because we know better now. And all of those things that we are forgiven for when we do them. I mean, think of all of the things. I'm going to ask graduates to think about this for a minute. I want you, in your short lives, I understand that you're nearly perfect. Nearly. Okay? But I think, if you look back, there have been times when you've sinned. Just a little bit. Not a big one, but a big little one. Okay? Think about that. God forgave that, and God will continue to forgive you. And if you make a bigger mistake, and you go to God, God will forgive you. Now, what I need you to do is, the three of you, I need you to teach all of them that, will you? Grace is one of the hardest things we ever learn. Somehow, we humans are programmed in our minds that we're supposed to earn our way to heaven. If I do this many things right, I get to go to heaven. If I give this much money, I get to go to heaven. If I save this many souls, I get to go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you accept Him into your heart, you are saved. Amen. Amen? Amen. All right. Then the hard work starts. Because then, out of gratitude, we live. And that's a part of what the 1 Peter passage was talking about. And it's also what John talks about here. John says, puts these words on Jesus' lips. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me. It doesn't say if you want to be a law-abiding citizen. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to be with you forever. That is the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot, as a whole, receive because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But if we seek the Holy Spirit, now this is not in the scripture, if we seek that Holy Spirit, then we will find that Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit will help us. You know the Holy Spirit. All of you know the Holy Spirit. You may not realize it, but you do. Because He abides with you, and He will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned or childless. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. And because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Remember, that's Jesus talking. Although, it's fine for me too. May God bless the reading and hearing of this word. This passage is used so often at funerals. You know, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. That's the next section. Not as the world gives, but as I give. Only Christ can give you that kind of peace. But what I want to talk to you about today, what I want to focus on today, is standing on ground in faith. Because we have the Holy Spirit, because we know Jesus Christ. We may not know every single word that's in the Bible. We may not be able to quote chapter and verse. But we know the ideas and the ideals in Scripture. We know that God loves us so much. And if you don't, somehow let me impress that on you today. You are precious to God. And I don't mean that in some, you know, feminine, I'm saying precious. when from the day you were conceived, from the day you were born. That's why I like that song, you know, I heard your morning cry. Because from that moment to the day that you enter into heaven, you are precious to God. Every moment of your life is. And you all are too. You didn't become unprecious because you made it past 18, 19, or 20. And you are not precious because you were still only 3 or 4 or 5 or 10. Every single person in this room is precious to God. And God wants the very best for us. The very best. God doesn't want just average. God doesn't want just okay. God doesn't want just adequate. God wants the very best for us. And God doesn't say we have to do all the work. God's going to help us all the way through our journey to have a wonderful life. God will give us those signs and say, okay, now you need to go this direction. And a lot of us, the minister included, sometimes get to those signs and it very clearly says you need to go that direction. And what does the minister do? She goes that direction. Because I look at those signs and I look at those things and I say, but you know, I don't want to do that. I want to go over here. This looks like more fun, or this looks like more what I'd like, or whatever my excuse is. And it is an excuse. And you know what I find. Things don't go quite as well as I thought they were going to. Why is it that we think we know it all? I know best what for my life, right? I know best. I can make the best decisions for my life, and I don't need God to be telling me, and I don't need any signs from God. Let me tell you something. Yes, you do. It'll go a lot better if you watch God's signs. It'll be a lot happier. It'll be a lot healthier. It'll be a lot more filled with satisfaction, deep satisfaction. That satisfaction that you know you follow Jesus' footsteps. But you got to stand firm in your faith. Now, when we were younger, and I remember, I'm talking about a time before I was old. I found out last night that old is 50. Yeah, I just, Sheila and I need to notify you that we found out last night that old is 50. So we have a lot of people in the room who are old now. Including me. I didn't know I was old. But I am, so apparently. So that's okay. That's all right. I'll be old. Before I was old, when I was young, and I was, really, is it hard for you all to imagine these people being young? I mean, when I was a teenager and in my 20s, sometimes I'd look at somebody like, I can't imagine you at my age, you know? But when I was young, when I was your age, I just thought I knew everything. I did. Really. I was a very smart young lady. And I was intelligent, and I was talented, and I was gifted, so I thought I knew everything. I didn't need anybody or anything to tell me what's what. I didn't need God to lead me on my life. I didn't need to stand firm in faith. Why would I need to stand firm in faith? I want to get out there and make some money and party and have a good time. And, you know, it took me a little bit of time. And I think if you would ask some of the people here, they would have to confess it took them a little time too, to find my way to realize that following God's way was a whole lot better. Temporarily, it might have seemed like my way was the best. But long-range, God's way was really the best. Isn't it interesting that we all do, individually, at different times, that we'll say, doggone it, I just can't hardly move, can I? I'll say, you know, I know best about the situation. I have some very, very good friends who, a couple, man and wife, and they were packing their van to go home one day, and the husband, now let me put a little note here. This could have happened either way, either direction. Could have been the husband or the wife. I'm not trying to beat up on the guys here, but it just happened to be the guy here. Okay, the husband is just throwing things into the van, just, you know, tossing them into the van, And his wife is standing there, and she says, that's not going to work. You can't do it that way. If you do it that way, we can't get everything in the van. And the husband says, I know what I'm doing. You don't have to tell me what to do. I know how to pack this van, and he's just tossing the stuff in. You know? And the wife's going, but let me tell you, you need to pack it a certain way, or not everything is going to fit. And the husband says, I know what I'm doing. Don't tell me what to do. I don't need you or anybody else telling me what to do. So he filled up the van, and he still had two suitcases on the driveway. And she said, and what are you going to do with those? Because by that time, she was a little ticked off. And he said, well, we just won't take them. And she said, we brought them. We're going to take them home. And of course, her husband unpacked the van. They packed the van the way she said it needed to be packed. It all fit, and they went home. Now, I want us all to think about ourselves. Do we not all sometimes do this? I know how to pack the van. I know how to do this best. Right? Maybe we need to listen to the other person every once in a while who's saying, excuse me, I don't think that's going to work that way. God says that a lot in our lives. Excuse me, you're about to make a big mistake. I could save you a lot, but we don't listen, and we go on our own way, and we do all our own thing, and then we end up in a mess, and then we go to God and say, get me out of this mess. And of course, God will help get us out of the mess, but God would really have liked it better. God still loves us. That didn't change. But God would have liked it better if we had listened the first time. The other thing that I want you to stand firm in your faith in, this is to our graduates, but it's to all of us, because we all need to hear this pretty bad, I think, these days. We're living in a world of contentiousness. We're living in a world of, and we had this in our study this morning, individualism. What I want, what I need, is more important than you. Right? As Christians, that is not how we're to live. We are to be servants to each other. That doesn't mean we become slaves and we lay down and let people beat on us. That's not what it means. It means that sometimes we put other people first. And sometimes it means we have to stand up for ourselves when we are acting in a way that we feel is godly when someone else is not. It was not too terribly long ago that I had an encounter with a couple of people and was told, I didn't know what I was talking about. I didn't know what I was doing. Was put in my place, as it were. Even though I am the minister of this church, and I was the minister, I've been the minister of the church, other churches I've served, I was put in my place apparently as some sort of employee that doesn't know anything. And it was not completely kind in the way that it was done. And it was very hurtful. And I could have answered in kind. This is the key that y'all need to remember, and then help us all learn, will you? Because sometimes we're not as good at it. I could have replied in kind. I could have been nasty about it. I could have pulled rank. I could have done a lot of things. But what I chose to do instead was to just look the people straight in the face and say, I'm very sorry you're having a bad day, and God bless you. And I walked away from it. You don't have to take it. You don't have to just stand there and take it and take it and take it. But you don't have to answer in kind either. You can stand it strong in your faith. And you don't have to use those exact words. In fact, I'm not sure that day I used those exact words. But you can stand strong in your faith. And you can let people that know that you disagree or that they cannot belittle you. They are not allowed to belittle you, to make you feel small, to make you feel insignificant, because you're not. You are very significant, every single one of you. And that nobody gets to invalidate who you are. And nobody gets to put you in your place except God. stands firm in your faith. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you all go, stand firm in your faith. Be godly people. And peace will be upon you forever. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, your peace which passes all understanding, the peace that comes from knowing, from knowing that we are forgiven when we sin, from knowing that we are loved when we are unlovable, for knowing that when we need to stand in our faith, Lord, you will be with us. Lord, we ask you to bless each and every one of us here today with that firm, solid faith that will carry us through so that we can trust and obey and live our lives full of joy in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hymn of invitation, we thought we had this fixed, but apparently not yet. We're still working on the crackling and popping. Sorry about that, folks. Our hymn of invitation today is Trust and Obey. If you have never trusted in the Lord, I invite you to put all of your heart and soul and trust in the Lord, because the Lord is the only one who will never, ever fail you. And after you have done that, do your very best to obey God's will in everything you do. Love one another and love God. Let us stand and sing.